This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour of the Greg Hill Morning Show brought to you by the lawyers at Teen Malone.
Well, I wonder what it's like to be the rainmaker. I wonder what it's like to know that I made the rain.
Hey, Patriots Monday coming up at 10:30 or so with Gresham Keefe. It's Lawrence Guy and then Mac Jones this afternoon at 2:30. And Boomer Esiason will join us at 8. I'm sure Wiggy has nuggets from Bill Belichick
that he can
share with us in a moment. This is Steve in the car, though. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was wondering how Belichick could make that mistake, but it hit me like a ton of bricks. Cam, spelled backwards, is Mac.
Yes, that is true.
If you write down booby trap, you can figure out what that means backwards.
Okay. I'm on it.
Yeah, Freudian slip. It happens.
Mm-hmm. You know, Cam does that very well. And
he said Cam does that very well. He meant Mac does that very well. Yeah.
I was like, man, who's Cam that works for that?
I did too. I was like a coach?
Is there like a guy we don't know? Is that a nickname?
He had fun with it, though. Yeah. That was good to see. That was a little bit of personality. He could have shut that question down, and he didn't.
Oh, he's in a good mood after a big win. What were the nuggets you got?
Well, I think, you know, two nuggets that I wrote down for me is that the red area, he felt like, that's been a tough spot for them all year. They got to get better at that. Mm-hmm. That was like one of the nuggets. So why is that? What are they not doing? Is it the play call? And we say, is it Mac Jones not pushing the ball down into the end zone? So that's kind of still a little thing. And the other thing was he praised Josh. He actually called Josh McDaniels excellent. You know what I mean? Excellent. And we talk about Josh McDaniels and his future and what he's potentially going to be doing. So that's like, does Josh... is he going to be the next guy, or is Josh going to have an opportunity to leave here? And then what does Bill then have to do to replace Josh McDaniels?
If you're Robert Kraft, would you hire someone off of Bill Belichick's coaching tree?
Yes, I would.
Why?
Because he's the greatest coach of all time, Curtis, even though you can't stand to admit it.
What? Of course, I'm saying who on his coaching tree has been successful?
Mike Vrabel.
There hasn't been nobody that has been successful off his coach tree. I will give you that.
Why would you hire? I mean, look, we mock teams now when they hire Patriots assistants. So you're going to sit here and hire one of those now? That to me would be an idiotic decision, especially since Josh McDaniels. I know he had a good game yesterday, especially that trick play that got the touchdown with Bourne. But his red zone plays for the vast majority of the season have been awful.
Well, I mean, there's a couple guys with the last name of Belichick that you could move into that position should it become available at any point. Right, Ken?
There'll be a bidding war.
Or Patricia. But I do think it's McDaniels. He is the heir apparent. And you could do a lot worse. Look at Sirianni and Campbell and Detroit. There are so many bad coaches in this league. Now McDaniels deserves a second chance.
Look at the guy you played yesterday.
I encountered Steve Belichick entering Ocean Prime on Friday night, and all I could think about was how quickly he could eat a bowl of soup with that tongue of his.
Did you say hello?
Huh?
Did you say hello?
No, I walked in the opposite direction.
Was he on the trolley?
No, he was not on the party trolley.
Oh. Didn't respond
for
to the
Courtney's
didn't
birthday.
RSVP.
He did not RSVP.
Did he get God cream? Knows where that tongue is, Ben.
Did he get cream corn because Ocean Prime's cream corn?
Oh,
is probably
is it spectacular?
I think it's the best in the city.
Yes, I went to Ocean Prime last night. Actually,
it's
the best. I think it is.
Did
one
you
of,
get the cream corn?
No, I did not. I got the lobster bisque though, oh, okay. And it was lights out.
And my wife loves the what's the cake thing that they have? There?
Oh, the butter carrot cake.
Yeah, the butter cake.
The butter cake. Yeah.
Yeah. She. Man. Yeah.
The least relatable morning show in Boston. And that's saying something.
Yeah. I think from a Nugget perspective, those are two interesting ones. Mm-hmm. Bill in an excellent mood,
excellent.
As he should be after a win. And now we're on to the West Coast.
Because don't you think about that, Greg, right? How long we always say does Bill coach for, mm-hmm. right? So you think, and now what is this team? Is this a rebuilding team, a retooling team? How long does he now chase Shula, which, what is it, he like 50 wins behind? But is this team a team that's going to be a 10-win team every year? And does he continue to do this for the next 6 or 7 years? Because if that's the case, is McDaniels – I don't think McDaniels is hanging around here for that long.
I would guess the guy – he doesn't want to go out on a 6 or 7-win team. He wants to go out on a team that – has, you know, has 10 wins and moves along in the playoffs. So I would think it's he's got a while left.
Josh McDaniels is probably looking for that second chance. And I'm with you, Greg, where, you know, your first time might not have been good, but look at Belichick. His first go around wasn't great. And then now. So I think Josh definitely will get that second chance. But is he going to wait around 5, 6, 7 years? To be the guy in waiting here? Or does he say, you know what, when I see the good opportunity open up for me, I'm going to go? And Ken makes a great point. Look at all these idiot coaches throughout the league.
Well, that's what I ask when, Curtis, when you talk about the coaching tree. If not a Belichick disciple, who would you want right now?
I don't know. Maybe go after Sean Payton, get him away from the Saints. I think he's the best coach in the NFL right now, not named Bill.
But I don't think you could get him.
Or
though.
John Harbaugh. Maybe he was ready to leave the Ravens. Those are two guys I'd go after.
All right. Well, Bill Belichick has joined us this morning, and we will get to Boomer Esiason coming up at 8. Before that, though, at 7:20, Wiggy's top 5 takeaways from yesterday in under 60 seconds.
NFL Sunday, this Sunday before the game.
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
October is Subaru Loves Pets Month. Find out how you can help return the love pets give to us this month. Details at SubaruofNewEngland.com. One little nugget in there. Belichick not taking the bait on Jets history in the rearview mirror. Wouldn't reflect on his time with the Jets. But he was on with OMF, Greg, and he did say it was one of the memorable moments of his career, one of the best moments of his career, something like that. Why do you think Bill didn't want to reflect on, after pounding them yesterday, The way the Jets thing ended?
Is it possible that he's moved on? I mean, can we take him at his word that he's mm-hmm. not sitting at home ruminating about his experience the decades ago?
But he put up 54 on them yesterday. I mean, right. Talk about just...
But I don't think there's
what do you want him to do?
To be fair, he probably didn't know what I was asking because I stumbled all over my phone.
It was Wiggy-like the way you asked that question. What do you want him to mercy rule him and kneel before they get in the end zone? I mean, they were having their way with them. What are they supposed to do?
He could have taken Mac out a little earlier. I mean, geez.
God. You don't think they were running up the score, Greg?
I don't care. It's the NFL.
I don't care either.
On the score up.
I love that he did. I think it's his most relatable quality.
Okay, but again, Curtis, here we go. So he would only run the score up against the New York Jets. Would he do that in the same if he was in that same position with any other franchise? Or you believe that it's he is bitter and angry and motivated in such a way as to run the score up only yesterday?
I don't believe he is bitter and angry. I believe that he doesn't like those people, and that when he has a shot, he will run it up on them in a way that he wouldn't against Kyle Shanahan. Or
those
other coaches
people,
in the league
I mean,
that
who's there from that period of
nobody.
Time?
Is there anybody? I was there, and there's nobody left over. I mean,
is there anybody
like,
there?
No, the Mangini thing, like, you know, you could see the disdain he had for the Jets. Then Rex Ryan brought it back to life, but it really hasn't. There's nobody left over. Everybody's gone.
Well, the radio guy is still there, Bob Wachusen. He was taking shots at Mac. We got to play at some point during the morning. He is like lockstep with Wiggy. He's just a dink and dunk artist. Oh. He was bad-mouthing the whole broadcast.
Well, let's do that when we come back.
We can do that. 54 points, the most scored by the Patriots since November 2013 in a win over Pittsburgh. And 551 yards of offense, the most since the Super Bowl 52 loss to the Eagles. Robert Saleh was on the other end of that. Here's the Jets coach.
This is the NFL. You give up 50 points. It's embarrassing. I don't think I've had this feeling after a game since 2017 against Dallas. A helpless feeling where you're just watching and you're trying to figure something out. But, you know, I'll be honest. You know, we talk about adversity. And everyone was asking, "This, you can chalk this one up. This is it. It's here." So this is from coaches all the way down. NFL doesn't really give a flying excuse my language.
God, are they bad?
And then you wonder why a guy like Justin Fields struggles, or even a Zach Wilson struggles with the Jets. It's your organization. I mean, think of Saleh. When he was with San Francisco, everybody praised him. He's the next guy. He's the next guy. Then you go to an organization that has it's kind of crumbling at the top. And now the poor guy's like, yo, I need to get the hell out of here.
So, just to be clear, if Fields were the quarterback here and Mac Jones were not, this team would be better?
I think this team probably would be a little bit better.
Okay.
Because you'd have an extra element that you don't get from Mac.
How much better? One win better? Wins better?
Maybe one win better.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Maybe they'd be 4-3.
Okay. All right.
Because you could design plays to use his legs.
Okay,
Patriots with moral wins, with moral victories, are what, 5-1 right now? 6-1.
Yeah,
5-2 at least.
No.
But when you hear the players almost to a guy have been saying that they're better than their record is. Mm-hmm. Do you think they are? Think it's a better football team than their record now?
Yeah, I do. They legitimately should have beat the Bucs, and they should have beat the Cowboys.
They should be technically, I believe, 4-2. 4-2, I'll give them. Now, you could have beat the Bucs.
Well, they played 7 games.
Have they played 7 games? All right, so 5-2.
You could have beat the Bucs.
Right, and you could have beat the Cowboys, but I'll put those in the loss count. I had them in the loss column before the season started.
Well,
you should have beat the Dolphins.
If not for a fumble.
It doesn't matter, though.
It does.
No, it doesn't. Stop with that.
No, why the players are saying it. They're looking at it, and they're going, all right, if not for this mistake, this specific mistake, we would be this.
But can't they do that on the other side?
Yeah, of course they can.
Right, so let's just based off of what we looked at going into the season. You should have beat the Dolphins. You should have beat the Saints. You beat the Texans, and you beat the Jets twice. You should be 5-2 right now.
Well, on Halloween, it's SoFi Stadium and the L.A. Chargers, 4:05 Eastern Time kickoff. Chargers are 4-2. This is basically a playoff game. You could look at it that way.
Yep.
These two teams could be fighting for a playoff spot in, whatever, a couple months. And that Cleveland game as well in a couple weeks. But 3-4 Patriots move on. They are 5.5-point underdogs. Your broadcast crew will be Ian Eagle and Charles Davis this week. So people you've heard of, at least, on the CBS telecast.
Who was the reffing crew yesterday? I had never seen any of those guys before.
I think it was Laz Diaz.
How many flags did they just pick up for no reason?
Sunday Night Football, Colts beat the Niners. Boston Sports trifecta yesterday. Celtics win, Bruins win, Revs tied, and they are the Supporters Shield winners, best regular season record. Celtics back at it tonight against Charlotte. Wiggy, you like the C's win? A little bounce back for
a little bounce back. Houston's squad. Not very good, though, but you know what? I'll take the bounce back win.
Who is that rookie they have? Jalen Green? He is money.
Oh, yes. That boy is. I think he played. He was a one-and-done, like a prep school kid.
He was good. 8 threes and 30 points, but Celtics got it done. Red Sox season-ending press conferences today. And the sad news that Bob Neumeier passed away over the weekend, former WEI host, 20-year WBZ television fixture, and, of course, NBC Sports horse racing coverage all through the years. Excellent handicapper.
Great handicapper, right? Like, big horse racing guy.
People say, Mutt says he's one of the best ever.
I used to really enjoy him when he did the Derby. And he was here for a reasonably long time, right?
Did the Bruins play-by-play for a while on radio.
Yes, yep.
So, great career. Rest in peace, Bob Neumeier. And that's what's trending on the Greg O'Moore.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here. And the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
This is the Greg Hill Show on EEI.
When everybody lauds the rookie quarterback, Mac Jones is basically asked to do little to nothing in this offense, right? I mean, it is running up the middle with Damian Harris and screens. The only pass that I can remember that's been completed by the Patriots here in the first half that probably traveled more than about 10 yards in the air was the trick play thrown by Kendrick Bourne as Nick Folk adds the extra point, and it's now 24-7, New England on top with 5.5 minutes to go in the first half. Mac Jones just dinks and dunks his way down the field. Jeez. And the Patriots have their 17-point lead back. You're listening to New York Jets football.
I'm sorry, Greg. That was Wiggy. I meant to play Bob Wischusen. That was Wiggy.
Bob Wischusen is a Boston College guy, I believe. A fellow Eagle when it comes to Courtney and Curtis.
Graduated in 93 and doing my my research here. He was an intern on the Dale Arnold Show in 1991 at WEEI, so we know who to blame.
Dale Bob, here.
Bob Wischusen throwing a little shade, just like Wiggy, at Mac Jones, which I get it from Bob. I don't understand from J. Charles Wiggins.
But why do people hate it when you go, he throws the check down? People, when Brady dunked, right, so why do you get all sensitive when you go, okay,
because he chooses to check? He appears to me to be executing the offense the way the coaching staff would like the offense to be executed. That's all. I think he's going to be an excellent quarterback. I think I know you don't like to bring up anybody else who was in that draft class, but I think he is the best of the bunch. And I think that Bill, the GM, gets credit for that pick. Or if it was Robert Kraft who made it, somebody gets credit for that pick. They got the best guy.
I also think he did a great job under pressure again. I thought he got himself out of some scary situations, unlike Zach Wilson. And I think that is, to your point, the coaching.
No, that's a completed pass, and Mac Jones threw the ball 6 inches.
Do you want Derek the Steelers fan, or do you want Jay, who was in the Aperol Spritz pick'em with Wiggy?
Oh.
Which do you prefer here for a caller?
I mean, Jay deserves to be first up.
You want Jay first up? All right, Jay from Nashua. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Where do we stand this morning on the Aperol Spritz pick'em? Are you guys even?
I don't know. Where are we?
Brighton.
I know we're in Brighton, but
I honestly don't know. My boss, Ken, said that it was a tie because you guys all picked the same teams, I think.
Oh, okay. But what was the tiebreaker was how many?
They both picked the Red Sox in 7.
No. I thought the tiebreaker was Courtney selfies from her birthday party.
Oh, that's
Friday
right.
Night. What was that?
There were a lot of them.
Did somebody have 100?
Jay had 100. I think he wins.
Yes. I don't know if you.
There were a lot.
If you follow Courtney on Instagram on her story, there were probably a good 60 or 70 stories.
So then Jay would win that one because I had her at like 15. Jay had her.
Jay,
20.
Did you have her at 20, Jay?
Yeah, I had her at 20. I should have said 16, but I wanted to at least give Wiggy a chance.
No.
I think Jay initially said like 75 or something.
He was probably right on the
money. They were about 75. Very active on the Instagram.
I know. I had had too many tequilas, and one thing leads to another.
That's okay. Yep. I mean, that's what birthdays are for.
Yeah, exactly.
Birthdays are for too many tequilas.
Yep.
All right, so Jay.
Tell me about it.
Jay, you will join us for a complimentary Aperol Spritz. Capital Grill, and we had a good suggestion on Friday, which is that we'll get everybody who is in the contest there together at one night.
Yep,
and we'll all enjoy Wiggy's favorite appetizer, which is the prosciutto mozz, and his new favorite drink, which is the Aperol Spritz. Here is Derek, the Steelers fan, not an Aperol Spritz guy, like Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick's a Budweiser guy. Derek, the Steelers fan, probably a Budweiser guy. Hey, Derek.
100% correct, Hill Dog.
I knew it. Bud Heavy, by the way. No Bud Light.
Yeah, who has time for Bud Light in the break? So I'll tell you, if I could get to two things, the first of which is thank God for the sorry ass AFC East, huh? Get your boys all their numbers yesterday. Get everybody all, you know, all the Jags got their due yesterday, and everything's great down at Disney again.
Well, it is.
I love it.
Yeah, it is.
Well, first of all, that kid they drafted, he's going to be an analyst on, you know, the Mountain West Network breaking down Utah and BYU in 2 years.
Well, Zach Wilson.
That's number one. That kid sucks. Are you kidding me? All I need to see is a selfie of that kid, and I knew not to draft him. Give me a break. And then the coach, there's another stiff, okay? Please, that organization, they should be, you know, kicked out of the league. They're an absolute embarrassment. They have been the whole 20 years of your little run here. And the Dolphins aren't far behind, by the way. Now, on to Bill, because I'll tell you, and Curtis knows I'm right, and he's not going to like having to agree with me, but it's the truth, okay? I don't want to hear any, it wasn't personal with Brady. It was just business. It was time, Hilldog, right? Mm-hmm. It was just time, okay? Oh, it wasn't personal with Butler. That Matty P just identified he had a bad week at practice. My ass. This guy is the most vindictive. You know, he can't get over, you know, yesterday getting a bad cup of coffee, let alone getting over your boy Tannenbaum, who you used to have on the show all the time. Mm-hmm. Remember what he said about Bill?
Remind me.
He's psychologically damaged and should seek help for walking away from the head coaching job of the New York Jets. Okay? The guy hates the Jets. He hates the fact that they ratted him out. Okay? And there he goes, 54 against a JV team. Lap it up. Have a good time with it. Let's see what they do when they play a real football team.
I will say this. Those Bengals look pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they don't fall for that either. That's going to come crashing down real quick. Trust me. Mm. When the Ravens play them again and absolutely annihilate them, the Bengals are slightly better than your AFC East tribe that you people have been feasting on for 20 years.
Okay, Derek. All right, thank you. Well, Derek, obviously
Bengals
upset.
Bengals look good, though, man.
They do look pretty good.
You should be in a good mood. Steelers had a bye week.
I know, they didn't lose.
Yeah, like...
On Friday, I told him that the Bengals were closer to a Super Bowl, and you would have thought I told him that, you know, his football team season was canceled.
What's going on with the Chiefs, by the way?
Oh, that is so great.
It's the Jackson Mahomes effect.
They're going in the wrong direction.
Oh. You think it's the extended family members, the extended Mahomes family members?
Too many headlines, not about football, all about Jackson Mahomes.
Hmm.
Speaking of family members of people on the team, you got Andy Reid's kid who's facing trial for what he did. I mean...
And that's the same Titans team that lost to the Jets. The Jets' only win is against the Titans,
right?
Who just housed the Chiefs.
But it is so bizarre. The Chiefs get praise. They only get covered when there's good news. Like when they're dominant, everybody starts Monday morning with Patrick Mahomes better than Brady. And then it's like they get their ass kicked and nobody talks about them.
Yeah. How's that $500 million deal looking? $500 million, 10-year deal.
Yeah, he's their offense. I know their defense isn't very good, but I thought their offense would still be able to do some things. But man, you ain't lying. They got housed by the Titans.
This is AJ. What's up, AJ?
Hey, who's the Steelers fan that just called in? Does he watch more Patriot fans than Steelers games this year?
He's always been that way. He's always been that way.
But he makes fun of the AFC East. Does he realize that Pittsburgh has had Cleveland in the division the last 20 years, Cincinnati in the last 20 years?
He's like, obsessed. He's obsessed.
Wiggy, did you watch your boy Justin Fields yesterday?
I watched a little bit of it.
Oh, a little bit. Do you know his stat line?
Yes, I do.
That was my lead, AJ.
Yep.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because in six games, he's going for 700 yards and 2 touchdowns. Matt Jones in like 7 games is going for 1,700 yards and I think 7 or 9 touchdowns, I know. I think 9.
I don't know if he started all 6 games. I don't know if he started all 6 games. How much?
Yeah, they played 7.
How much?
He only played 6.
How much do you put on that coaching staff down there, and why he struggled?
That's an easy cop out.
I'm asking the question.
He's the one taking the sacks, though. He's the one taking the sacks. He's the one throwing the ball.
Well, it's the offensive.
What makes you want Justin Fields over Mac Jones?
Well, it's the offensive line. So when Mac Jones was getting hit, when Mac Jones was getting hit. And he was struggling. People told me he had a horrible offensive line.
So
he was getting hit though.
So, AJ, you blame the offensive line here, and now you don't want to blame the offensive line in Chicago.
So with Fields, it's all coaching.
You said
earlier this Patriots team would have one additional win.
Yeah, I believe so.
If it were Fields and not Mac Jones.
Yes, the same way I believe they'd have one additional win if it was Trevor Lawrence.
What part of Fields' game do you think would add to that win?
I think his ability to run the football. They would use his legs more. Chicago don't even use his ability to run the football.
Justin Fields. Wiggy just wants to draft Justin Fields.
All I say is I hear the reason why Mac Jones is so good is because he has a great coaching staff, a great supporting cast that coaches him and teaches him what to do, right? And I agree with that. But that is in large part of why he's successful. But when you talk about other guys, you instantly just talk about their performances. You don't talk about the guys that are coaching them. Urban Meyer and his coaching staff in Jacksonville, Justin Fields and Nagy and his coaching staff in Chicago, Robert Saleh and his coaching staff in the Jets. We don't talk about how bad those coaching staffs are. Like this Mac Jones and how he's playing, and we kind of talked about what Josh McDaniels is going to do. It should show you that if you don't have a good coaching staff around a quarterback, I don't care how talented he is, he's not going to be successful.
All right. Well, you know how Wiggy feels. No surprise there, but coming up, we will get his top five takeaways from yesterday in 60 seconds or less.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on EEI.
I've been waiting a long time for this moment to come. I'm destined for anything at all.
It is a Tie Tuesday, Tie Law at 8:30 this morning. We will talk with Boomer Esiason coming up after the news with Courtney at around 8 on a Patriots Monday. And this is Michael. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, guys. I'm Wiggy.
Yo.
You were saying that Justin Fields has a lousy offensive line, and then when Mac Jones gets hit and blame the offensive line and all that, Mac Jones had a 72% completion rating with a lousy offensive line. So why can't you give him credit for that and say Justin Fields with a lousy offensive line just isn't doing as good a job?
Well, I would think that Justin Fields is more about the coaching thing. Here's where I did some more studying and more all-22 film study.
Hold on. I just want to make, was the fire alarm going off? Michael, wild. Are you okay? Is everything all right?
Yeah, and there's no alarm where I am. I just closed my window.
Okay. I thought maybe you were smoking on the oxygen tank or something.
No, that wasn't on my end.
Okay.
Do you have the roll-up windows?
Okay. What did you do?
I did some deep dive studying.
You did when?
Right.
When did you do this?
I did this yesterday.
Okay.
I watching the games. I did a little bit last night watching the game from last night.
Uh-oh.
And so I would say, because people get all...
Did you check your work?
I did check my work, Curtis, always. People get all sensitive and butthurt when I say Chad Pennington. So I said, okay, well, maybe that's too long. Oh, people are like, oh, my God. So I said, let me give them something a little bit closer to home.
As a comp for Mac
Jones.
As
a comp that they can understand.
Okay.
And that would be one Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, so you're calling him soft?
No. I'm not calling him soft. Remove that stuff. I'm talking Ooh. About...
Interesting day for that to come up, though.
No. I'm talking about his performance, his play.
Okay.
I have, like, the same way I didn't compare Mac Jones with Chad Pennington's history injury,
right.
I'm not talking about his mental makeup.
You can't win with a bitch for a quarterback.
I'm just talking about his play on the football field.
Okay.
When you look at his best year, Jimmy Garoppolo's best year, and that was in San Francisco, when he almost completed about 70% of his passes, 27 touchdowns, 13 interceptions.
When he went to the Super Bowl, you
yes,
mean?
Yes, quarterback rating of 102. That's your comparable, because Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't a runner. He was somebody that people even criticized him here, his ability and how much arm strength he had. But he made a lot of smart decisions. He was smart with the football. That is your comparable when I see what I'm getting from Mac Jones.
Why can't you compare him to Brady? He is doing what Brady did his first 2 years. Exactly,
you know what?
The same.
You and Curtis were talking about that on the radio, and I was getting ready to call in, but I was headed to, I believe it was Seymour's thing, so I couldn't. My kids were in the car.
You were headed to what?
Seymour's retirement, Hall of Fame induction. Yep. And so I was ready to call in, so I told Curtis about this. And
great point that you made.
He kind of got a little bit. But I did an even deeper dive, Curtis, for you.
Okay.
Justin Herbert, through the first seven games, 2,100-plus yards, 17 touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 107, and five interceptions, mm-hmm. versus Mac through the first seven games.
Yeah.
That's your comparable. Stop comparing him to Brady because the league was different. Your comparable is now in the pass-heavy offense of 2021.
Right. And
he looks like, you know, a young Tom Brady to me.
In the pass-heavy offense-driven league.
Yes.
In which you wanted Bill to take Justin Fields because he can run the ball.
No, he gives you another element. He gives you another element, and he can throw the football.
Yeah, he takes 22 sacks.
Right. But didn't people...
Wait, how many turnovers did he have himself yesterday?
Four.
But when Jimmy Garoppolo first came on the scene, didn't a lot of people compare him
to
Tom Brady?
Five turnovers.
Himself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Five.
Yep.
Oh, but that's coaching.
That's coaching.
That is coaching.
That's coaching. He'd have one more win. The Patriots have one more win. If Fields was their quarterback,
because he wouldn't look as bad.
Damn.
Do you think Trevor Lawrence would have one more win?
No, I don't.
See,
Wiggy's point, what I do believe he's accurate in saying is that the Chicago Bears are a dumpster fire. And if you put Mac there, I don't think he'd look good either. I think that that game yesterday, I watched the whole game, that was over the second the game started. It wasn't even a contest between the Bears and the Bucks.
And you don't think Trevor Lawrence would look a whole lot better here? Than in his situation.
He would, but I don't know. He wouldn't look better than Mac Jones.
Okay.
What, do you think he would?
I don't know. He could.
Okay.
Well, Boomer Esiason said he'd take Mac first overall if he redrafted.
Yes, he did.
He said you took him out of context, though.
All right. Let's get to Wiggy's five takeaways from yesterday in 60 seconds.
Number five.
All right. I noticed something about this football team, man. They love the trick play. They absolutely love what they have. I think they had three trick plays in yesterday's game. They were only successful on one, but for some reason, man, they love the trick play.
Is that okay? Are they making up for something that they can't do?
I think it's too much gadget. Well, I think it's a little bit of like it is a little bit of maybe our offense isn't as explosive as we'd like because usually when you go for a trick play, it's meant to have a big play.
Okay. All right.
Number four.
Still an issue when it comes to your second cornerback position. I know Jalen Mills gave up another touchdown where the kid picked peanuts off of him. I'm telling you, you gotta address that position because what is gonna happen next week when you play against the Chargers, they could throw the football all over the place. That thing is gonna come back to bite you in the butt in the fact that you let Stephon Gilmore to go. And it seems like, even though you won, it seems like every week it's still showing itself.
Number three.
Jacoby Myers is Mac Jones' security blanket, his go-to guy. When you look at what Jacoby Myers has been able to come, everybody say slot receiver. He is your new Julian Edelman. He's not as explosive as Julian Edelman, meaning getting them yards after catches. But he is the guy that Mac Jones leans on, and there is nothing wrong with that. I think Jacoby Myers has probably been your bright spot on offense is what in the passing game.
Number two.
I'll tell you, the run game looked good yesterday, and I would like to see that for them to continue to run the football the way they did, and I think a large part of that, and I will get to that with my number one takeaway, is what they're doing and the little adjustments that they made. But I want to see them continue to run the football because that opens up the play action. And you saw it yesterday with Hunter Henry a little bit, some of that play action pass, even with Jacoby Myers. That's what's going to be a big thing for you.
Number one.
And the reason why your run game was good, I think putting Michael Owenu at right tackle, I think it solidifies your two edges. Now on the inside, you got Shaq Mason, you got Andrews, and you could put whether it's Karras or Ferentz in there, and you're a little bit more solid in the sense of We can now run the football with this offensive line. The whole Trent Brown experience, I think that thing is probably over. We probably won't see him again, especially if Onwenu, who played right tackle some last year, continues to play the way he plays. Maybe your offensive line is going to get back to not what we all thought in the beginning of the year, top five offensive line, but back to making things easier for Mac Jones where he's protected, but also being able to run the football like you did yesterday.
All right, Wiggy's top five takeaways from yesterday in 60 seconds. Quick reminder that if you cannot listen to this show on the radio, you can stream it at weei.com, or you can download the Odyssey app, which will only take a couple of moments, and then you can listen to us from anywhere.
It's time for...
Because they don't do whores d'oeuvres at weddings, do they?
The dumbest of the day.
Yeah, of course they do. What are you talking about? You've never been to a wedding with hors d'oeuvres?
Maybe. I can't remember. It's been a while.
Time now for the dumbest of the day. And Curtis, we listened to everything that happened over the weekend, and we have determined that this may have been the dumbest.
For the first time in American history, a Kennedy got a bad deal. Byron Kennedy is a big Bucks fan from St. Pete. He was at the game yesterday in the front row. Mike Evans caught a touchdown pass from Tom Brady, his second of the game, that gave Tom Brady 600 in his regular season career. 685 if you include the playoffs and the Super Bowl. So, Mike Evans, totally unaware of this moment, caught the ball and does what he always do, hands it to a fan. Byron had the ball for about 15 minutes before handlers of Tom Brady and the Bucks came to him to negotiate an exchange. And this is what he had to say.
Well, getting the ball was really cool. I don't normally sit in the front row, so I've never gotten the ball before. And then giving it up was tough. The trainer came over and asked for it, but what am I going to do, say no to Tom Brady? So he asked for the ball back. I didn't really need the ball. It was cool. I got to hold it, take pictures with it, all that sort of stuff. And then Tom Brady wanted it, so I gave it back.
Did you have to think twice about it?
I told the trainer no twice, but finally I said yes.
So did he get anything in return?
He got like $1,000 gift card for the Bucks Pro Shop.
Oh,
what? And
probably get like an autographed Brady jersey.
He gets an autographed Brady jersey, which is coming. That will be as soon as Guerrero can ship that later on today. That'll arrive. But I mean,
would he be able to meet Brady?
That ball? That's like a couple $100,000.
I heard people speculating $500,000.
Oh,
hell no.
Okay, but that's not dumb. I kind of like the fact that the guy gave.
Really?
It back.
Yeah, I'm not giving that thing up. Forget that.
Give it back?
Nope. Hell no.
You'd hold on for $500,000.
I would definitely hold on
from
coin.
From Brady.
From the NFL.
Tom Brady's not going to pay $500,000.
He said he's keeping the ball, by the way. He said he's going to keep this one.
I thought that would go in the Hall of Fame.
No, he said he's keeping this one.
Right.
So he should pay the value of the ball.
Yeah. Why?
This guy had it, and he took it off him.
Is that Tom's fault?
Well, it's Mike Evans' fault, but
well,
so what?
That's what I think. I think if this guy held on to the ball, Mike Evans would have been so embarrassed that Brady didn't have it, he would have given him like $1 million.
I would have held on to it like until somebody pays me. We figuring out what we getting some money out of. Some way, somehow, I'm making money off this thing.
I think a lot of fans, though, in that moment, if somebody's coming over to you that works for the team and they're asking for something back, you probably feel a lot of pressure to do it. Like, good on that guy for saying no twice. I can't believe $1,000 gift card, though, is what they negotiated. I would want a sit-down meeting with Tom Brady. I'd want the full TB12 line. I would want one-on-one training with Alex Guerrero.
I'd
want $100,000.
Photo shoot with Giselle.
Of course.
Start with the $100,000 first.
Candy bar?
They're coming over and asking for the football. That should be the damn light that goes off in your head that this ball is important. They want this ball back. So therefore, hey, you know what? You know how it is. When you find something on the street and somebody wants it, you don't give it back just because. No, we need to negotiate here.
All right, well, that ball was worth, I guess, according to some estimates, $500,000.
That is
all day.
Sunday scaries, if you're hearing that.
And probably more than that, because you think anybody will get close to doing, 600 touchdowns?
I should have asked for like playoff tickets.
No, oh, yes.
Wants a trip to the Super Bowl.
Private plane to the Super Bowl.
$250,000.
If Will Brady doesn't give this guy money, that is his lowest moment.
What if he doesn't give him money now?
At some point. I mean, in the next couple.
The guy already shot himself in the foot when it comes to negotiating. He gave the ball right up.
We, the taxpayers, paid PPP money for Brady's TB12 organization. He won't give this guy. It's $1,000 to the pro shop. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. The guy needs to call J. Charles Wiggins and Associates immediately and instigate some kind of an action against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I love the misery that he has created you people. God, it's so
that
great.
That organization is worth billions of dollars, and you just hand it back. You just hand it back. It's like winning a lottery ticket and then you giving it back to them.
You should have heard from our interview with the guy who catches all the balls in the baseball stadiums.
Yeah.
He should have heard him because he said he negotiates for a lot of money for those teams.
But the odd thing about it is that's not the record-breaking ball. $599 is the record-breaking ball, which is an odd thing. Is that like a fascination? Why is that the one that Tom Brady wanted?
The 600th?
Yeah.
It's a milestone.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but
why do you celebrate a 50th birthday different than a 49th?
Yeah, okay, I guess. It's just like the number 600 is the
My guess is when he gets his 700th, I think his receiver will know better not to hand it to somebody in the stands.
Yes, you're probably right about that. All right, that is the dumbest of the day. And the news is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health. Over 90% of the men who undergo treatment there for ED or premature issues or low testosterone enjoy terrific results. You can learn more when you visit northeastmenshealth.com. Courtney?
Well, Boston officials are preparing to remove people's tents from Methadone Mile today, citing health concerns in an area that has seen an increase in open-air drug use and homeless encampments. Notices posted on Theodore Glenn Way say officials will remove items from the street in a general cleanup of the public space starting at 7 a.m. So it started 45 minutes ago. Here's Marty Martinez, Boston Chief of Health and Human Services.
The situation has gotten worse, and all of our shared efforts are needed to make the improvements we see.
Now, they struck out when it came to shipping everybody over to Revere.
Correct.
Did they pick another city?
Seaport.
It's the seaport.
Yeah. You guys got to have new neighbors.
We welcome any and all people to the seaport. A nice tent city down there would be something fun and exciting.
They posted notices, but 45 minutes ago, people where they're staying are getting taken away. I don't know what happens then.
Giant outdoor space, lawn on D.
Oh, true.
Put a lot of tents out there.
True. Lawn on D.
They could use the swings.
Yep.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. Well, see how that goes.
A candlelit vigil was held for cinematographer Helena Hutchkins, who died on the set of Rust from an accident involving a gun with Alec Baldwin. This was my lead on Friday. A lot of news has come out over the weekend involving this. We have more insight into what exactly happened. It seemed that Baldwin was rehearsing the gun retrieval method from a pew. So they were shooting in a mock-up of a church, and he was practicing just retrieving this gun.
Pulling it out of his holster or whatever?
No, from a pew. So the gun was on a pew. He picked it up. He aimed it at a camera with both Hutchkins and 48-year-old director Joel Souza, who were standing behind it.
Uh-huh.
Souza said he heard a loud pop and realized both he and Hutchkins were bleeding. People are now questioning if Alec Baldwin is going to get charged in this whole thing.
Why would he get charged for it?
I agree with you.
It's an accident.
That's the very definition of manslaughter is an accident results in somebody's death.
But shouldn't it be on the person that handed him the gun?
Right.
There's a head armorer who's in charge of all of that to make sure that the gun is safe to be used.
He's the producer of the film.
But I think
that's different though, right? Then they might the producer or which the head armorer. The head armorer. Those are the people that put it there. Now, you as the actor, you're taking what you think is a prop gun, and it was actual live rounds in this gun that they had there. So Alec Baldwin doesn't know about that. So I understand, you know, manslaughter and the way it's written, but I think this is completely different when you're talking about an actor who's picking up something that he believes is a prop gun with blank bullets in it.
Picking up something that was cleared they call it a clean. I think it's a clean
cold.
They call it cold. And meaning that there's no ammunition. It's good to go.
Right. And Hilarious actually hired a Spanish speaking attorney that will represent Alec at trial. So I don't know how that's going to work out in this whole situation.
Well, I just feel like all in all, there were a million things going wrong on this set. There were misfires that happened prior to this where people did a walkout on set.
Yeah.
And then this goes wrong.
By the way, that's what the ladies used to call Curtis at BC, cold gun. Oh.
Good one.
You two are talking for 5 minutes. That's the payoff?
Yeah. But a wild part about this, we now have the 911 call if you want to hear that.
Oh, we do? 911 call? Okay.
Santa Fe Fire and EMS, what's the location of the emergency?
Bonanza Creek Ranch has had two people accidentally shot on a movie set by a prop gun. We need help immediately. Okay. Bonanza Creek Ranch. Come on.
So was it loaded with a real bullet or one?
I cannot tell you that.
I cannot tell you that.
So what will end up happening is I don't think anybody will get charged for this. You'll see, I believe it's her husband and the son.
Yeah.
They'll end up giving them like a ton of money.
Bag of cash.
Yeah. They'll, you know, obviously it's not going to mean much because you lost your mother and your wife, but that's what they'll end up doing.
Still, I think there'll be a lot of change when it comes to safety on movie sets because this is so bad. I also saw over the weekend a guy that was working on this set who I forget what his actual role was also on that Bruce Lee movie set.
Oh, Brandon Lee?
Brandon Lee, yes.
I mean, the question is, why are they using weapons, like real weapons in the first place? Like, normally, they just use in some cases, they use a prop gun that's not a gun.
Right.
Like a plastic gun?
Whatever
like a BB gun?
Yeah, whatever it is. Like, they don't need to be using, I read that they were doing target practice when they weren't filming, like, the crew was doing target practice using the guns with, like, live ammunition, so...
I think because it was a Western, they're probably trying to make it like how they used to do Westerns. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Stupid.
All right.
So starting yesterday, placing a local phone call in New Hampshire will take a little bit longer. Callers in New Hampshire will be required to add the state's 603 area code to most calls because of a new mental health and suicide prevention number. The new hotline doesn't start operating until July, but a 10-digit dialing will begin over the weekend. So they're saying because the number for the hotline is 988. And if you start just putting in 988, it's going to go directly to that.
Oh.
So you need to put the 603 before it so that you can dial out correctly.
Are New Hampshire people worked up about this?
Well, here is Mark Doyle, Director of Emergency Services and Communications.
There are a lot of folks in this state that probably haven't got the message yet. We've been doing a lot of work with the local media, with a number of the publications around the state, as well as our first responder community, to make sure that the message gets out.
Is this an issue with the rotary dial phones asking for a friend in New Hampshire?
I used to have a rotary dialed phone.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh.
I loved it.
Sure it wasn't a wireless?
No. We had a rotary in my parents' house when I was growing up.
It'd be really hard to mistake a rotary phone for a wireless.
No, I mean, but Courtney's from the era where they might not know. Like, to them, a landline is just that could be a rotary phone to them.
Yeah. Oh, no, this was a full rotary phone. Yeah,
full rotary phone.
And
Nothing better than getting the extended cord with the rotary phone. Mm-hmm.
Up until yesterday, EEI had exclusively rotary phones at our offices.
You take that baby from the kitchen all the way into the couch, lie down on the couch, and watch TV if you had the extended cord.
Right.
But the thing would always get tangled up, and then it was an absolute nightmare.
I also don't know who even has a landline anymore or who's actually dialing numbers. I feel like everybody just presses a name and it dials. So who actually has to put the area code?
I have a landline.
Excuse me. Did you just ask who actually has a landline now?
Yeah.
Okay. Dale here.
Oh. All right. What's next?
Low-hanging fruit. Florida, they're not like the rest of us.
And now.
It's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of Florida.
Florida? But that's America's way.
Not like the rest of us.
Another day in Florida.
Cocaine, right? I thought that was just for people in Florida.
A Florida man has been charged with homicide after he was accused of shooting a neighbor. Through the investigation into what exactly happened, detectives learned that the guy became angry when his neighbor's cat entered his property. So the neighbor's cat wandered onto the property. A little bit of a incident occurred, and one shot the other.
Isn't that what cats do? I mean, cats roam all over the place, don't they?
Yeah, but you don't want that.
What do you mean?
It did happen one time. My wife and I, we watched a show called Fair Thy Neighbor. Mm-hmm. it's a really good show where they
reality thing.
No, no, where they reenact all these like crimes that have happened.
Oh,
between
neighbor
like
on neighbor violence.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's a real problem in this country. Neighbor on neighbor violence.
It is.
Is Fear Thy Neighbor an offshoot of Mr. Rogers' show?
Or? No. It is, and a lot of times is because the neighbor continues to do something and the other person doesn't. So the cat didn't just walk on the guy's yard once, probably.
Okay, but the guy should not be shooting the person.
No, he shouldn't.
Okay,
shoot the person.
I just want to get that right.
Well, here's Sergeant Paul Bloom.
Mr. Bliss was so upset that his neighbor's cat had wandered over into his yard that he went, retrieved a rifle, leaves his home, goes across the street to the victim's home, tells them that he was upset about their cat coming into his yard. He left his home, went to the victim's home, threatened to shoot his cat, and ultimately shot the victim and killed the victims.
Jeez.
Terrible.
People are on edge.
Oh, yeah.
This is a crazy story, and I just want to preface it by saying I think that these people should be on a watch list somewhere.
Okay.
Fans of mass murderer Charles Manson used parts of his ashes for a pair of tribute tattoos. Patrick Booz said he followed the example of his wife, Deanne, who wanted to become the first woman to sport a tattoo featuring Manson's ashes.
What, do they think Manson was innocent?
Apparently. They're fans of him.
Okay.
And they're from Niagara Falls. Uh-huh. They had this this artist, Ryan Almighty, mix the ashes with red and black inks to create the likeliness.
Yeah, I can't get that.
You have some ink.
Yeah.
Curtis not a fan of those who have ink, if I remember correctly.
Well, I just don't want them to operate on me.
Even if you want to get Charles Manson tattooed on you, to each their own.
No,
to get the ashes in it brings
really
it to another
each
level.
Their own. I like, there's like a certain, I saw a guy.
There's a limit for you?
Yeah, I saw a guy. He was in a truck, right? He was driving one of them Jeeps with the fifth wheel on the back. And the fifth wheel.
You mean a Wrangler?
Yeah, Jeep.
Okay.
That's what they're called. Jeep.
Yeah.
Jeep Wrangler.
Yeah. The fifth wheel was Greg at Courtney's party on Friday.
And good food though at the party.
And the wheel covered.
It was catered. It was great. I took a bag of to go pizzas. Why?
And the fifth wheel cover was a picture of Charles Manson.
It was?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like just driving. Like, all right.
Where does one buy that?
They probably had it custom made. Yeah. Like you want to get Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, Jason. These are all fictional characters. All right. I understand. Uh-huh. But you're driving around in a Jeep with Charles Manson on the back of it. Like, yeah. I think there are like certain, you
That's
know.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Very weird.
All right.
This also very weird. Secret government files relating to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy were supposed to be released next week. But now President Biden has postponed the release again, this time blaming delays because of the coronavirus pandemic. The documents will now be released in two batches, one later this year and a larger one late next year.
Mm-hmm.
There was a memo released. If you go through it, there's zero details on how the pandemic affected this reviewing process, but these will be sealed now for a bit longer.
JFK killer?
Yep.
Something stinks.
Yeah.
Doesn't
little
make
fishy.
Sense.
Don't you think that's fishy, Curtis?
Absolutely. I read that story over the weekend and
it
I was
stinks.
Just there's no reasoning behind it, and what they're releasing has already been released. Like it's just that they're digitizing it, because before you had to go physically to this place.
Right.
Now they're going to put the heavily redacted things already seen online, so you
back
can read nothing.
And to the left.
Right.
It is so clear it was back, a government conspiracy. It's
the
not
bullet
even
went back and to the left. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Good movie, by the way, though. You like that one? The JFK movie?
Which
Kevin
one?
Kevin Costner? You've never seen it?
Don't spoil it.
I don't think I've
seen
the one.
You haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen the JFK.
The only one I've seen is the Jackie O one. I didn't really like that one.
What? Which one?
The with Natalie Portman.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was called Jackie.
Yeah, I think
you gotta
so.
Watch JFK. Oliver Stone film. Good movie.
Very good.
Do you guys think there's a constitutional right to food?
Well, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So in the November 2nd election, voters in Maine will be asked if they are in favor of an amendment to the Maine Constitution to declare that all individuals have a natural, inherent, and unalienable right to grow, raise, harvest, produce, and consume the food of their own choosing.
Huh.
So a lot of people, depending on what side of this you're on in my readings, people are saying that it's a health risk, because if people want to consume something that is expired, so on and so forth, they should be told that they can't do that.
Why? That's on them.
Yep.
Wait. We have to have we want to have a law that prevents people from eating what they want to eat
yes.
right. in this country?
Yep. Well,
that is what.
I mean, give me a break.
Like.
That's where we are now. We got to tell people, hey, if you don't go to work, if you don't get vaccinated, you're getting fired. So now it's like, well, you can't eat spoiled meat.
Which amendment would this be? Like the Eighth Amendment? ATE. Oh, come on, Curtis. All right. What else? Anything else?
Yes. James Michael Tyler, very sad, played Gunther on Friends.
Yes.
He died in Los Angeles on Sunday after a battle with prostate cancer.
Oh.
First diagnosed in 2018, but he was on the Friends reunion. So really sad news. He was a fan favorite for people that watched Friends.
Okay.
A woman in Mexico is dead after an attempt to prank her neighbors. Now, Wiggy, you have to watch out for this as we get closer to Halloween. Mm-hmm. I know you like scaring the neighbors. This woman was trying to dress up as the infamous La Llorona.
Ooh, that was a good movie.
Yes, she was walking the streets dressed in a white gown and veil, shouting, "Ay, mis hijos."
Right.
Wasn't good at Spanish. La Llorona is the Latin American urban legend of a woman whose ghost roams the earth looking for her children, whom she drowned in a fit of rage after catching her husband with another woman. A neighbor saw this. Mm-hmm. There's a video of her walking around doing it right before she was shot. Neighbor saw it, got scared, shot her, took off. Yeah. Still under investigation.
Not a good idea to scare people. Wiggy is a big fan of that.
Just the kids. You don't go walking around scaring adults because that's when you think it's getting
active. I think it's worse if you want to scare the kids.
And like, I don't buy that.
What kind of an evil adult takes pleasure in scaring little children?
Well, it's Halloween. That's a good movie.
Right. Anything else?
Well, just I want to finish. I'm a big Pop-Tarts person.
Okay.
And I love strawberry Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
I'm a chocolate.
Okay. Well, Kellogg's Shocker. Is facing a $5 million lawsuit for not having enough strawberries in its Pop-Tarts.
Oh, really?
A class action lawsuit because if you look at what's actually in it, it's frosted strawberry toaster pastries contain 2% or less of dried strawberries, dried pears, dried apples, and red 40.
Mm.
People are saying because of the red effect of Pop-Tarts, you'd think there's more strawberries in it than there actually
Do you like them toasted?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, you have to. What, people don't toast them?
I think sometimes a lot of people just take them for on the go.
You always toast the Pop-Tart.
Oh, my God.
So, wait, there's not enough straw. There's red strawberry color.
Yes, is red
this like
40.
Is this like the tuna where there's no DNA in it? They're saying there's not enough of the strawberry flavor
yes.
in it?
Yes. Well, not enough real strawberries.
Class action lawsuit?
Yep.
Did they utilize the firm of J. Charles Wiggins and Associates?
I don't know, $5 million.
Yeah, call the lawyers at Team Malone now. Excuse me. Well, I can't wait. I can't wait till Thursday hockey, Ken? I cannot wait for that one.
They're probably going to settle for like free Pop-Tarts, I would assume.
I don't know. $5 million to
Ruins
Kellogg's?
Thursday here. Ruins Thursday.
By the way, have you guys seen the story in Leeds in the UK where a baker was forced to stop selling a certain sprinkle on his cookies and his baking? Mm-mm. There was an investigation and they found that it was containing E127 food coloring. Which showed it was in America because that's banned in the UK, I guess.
Oh, really?
This guy's had to shut down his entire bakery.
Hmm. How did they figure that out?
Right. They believe it was a competing baker who was losing customers.
Oh, yeah.
And why is it banned?
I have no idea. Still fuel you, if at all. I can't say I was drunk anymore. I don't know what I can say.
All right. That is the news with Courtney. Boomer Esiason on a Patriots Monday is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.